Ooh. Yeah, it seems loud. I don't know if it is or not. Maybe it's just me. I do have a rather big mouth, though, so I guess it works out that way. You guys have a good week? Did you? Praise the Lord. Well, that's good to hear. Good first week of the year. It's interesting. This is very nice devotion, Jenny. Thank you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Isn't that cool? Huh? That cool? Yeah. I heard a story this week. It's kind of cute. It kind of brings home a lot, I think, though. The little girl was asked if she got everything she wanted for Christmas. And she said, no, I didn't. But she said, after all, it wasn't my birthday. And I thought, isn't that something? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so we better, I was told when I gave Julie the verses of Scripture, she said, you'll never get through all those. So I'm going to try to prove her wrong today, all right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's see where this goes. Father, we humbly come before your throne. We just have to stop. We just have to take a breath. We have to just sit in your presence, knowing you are God and that you love us. And Father, you are always there for us. And we just praise you. Father, I ask that you would just use me. This sermon you've given, I've struggled over. Father, I just have to turn into your hands. Because, Father, it's your word. And I'm just going to speak your word. I praise you. I thank you, Father. I love you. Be with us this morning, Father. Let's just bask in the glow of the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Know that he is God. And he loves us. All your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Look at the person beside you. I want you to look at the person. The Lord impressed me this morning we need to do this. Because you know what? I don't think we realize this. Look at the person beside you. And I want you to tell with heartfelt emotion, God loves you. Come on. Can you do that? Kelly? God loves you. Kelly, God loves you. Amen. Isn't that cool? Do you understand that God loves you? Huh? Do you understand that? Do you understand the creator of the universe loves you? Last week, Matt was preaching, Best Day Ever was his sermon title. It seems really loud, but I guess you guys tell me if it is or not. You do what you got to do up there. I can go back to the other one if you want me to, because I got a really big mouth. And I might get a little excited this morning, because you know, last week, Matt was preaching. He's preaching in Luke 22. You see where we're going to be today? Go to Luke chapter 2, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 2. And I'm thinking, I wonder where he's going to stop. Because I've been studying on this for a couple, 3 weeks, getting this sermon together. And I thought, I wonder where he's going to stop. And you know what? He stopped perfectly. And I thought, because he stopped exactly where I'm going to take off from. So if you go to Luke chapter 2, we are going to look at, we just came through Christmas, right? Do you understand that the birth of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the pivotal turning point in history? Do you understand when you write the date on a check or whatever, you write the date, you go to the doctor's office, you know, you got to date it and sign it. When you write the date, whether you're a Christian or not, you are verifying, signifying that Christ was born. That's when it started, 2,000 years ago. His birth set that in motion. The time that we celebrate, the days, set that in motion. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool, I thought, right? You guys ain't getting it yet. So, the Lord Jesus Christ was born on earth. Why did God send a baby? You ever think about that? I think, you know, remember the angels when the shepherds like, oh, could you imagine if God would have sent an angel to every person on the earth and says, my son is born! Huh? Can you imagine? Heart attacks everywhere. People dead all over the place. Huh? I'm thinking, well, I couldn't do that. People be dead, right? I mean, you don't think about it. Could you imagine? You know what I'm saying? It'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? So he sends this baby, this little... You ever hold a baby? You know what that feels like, Barb, right? You know what that feels like. That baby, just they're so cute and cuddly. Who's afraid of a baby? Nobody's afraid of a baby. God sent his son as a baby. Why? Nobody's afraid of a baby. And that baby, he had to be born to be just like you and me, flesh and blood, to pay the penalty for our sin. Wow. The Lord Jesus Christ was born 1,450 years before the printing press was invented. The Lord Jesus Christ was born 1,900 years before radio was invented. 2,000 years later, he's still the most talked about man ever. Isn't that cool? Isn't that something? Wow, I thought that was pretty cool. Huh? So let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, Matt, if you were here last week, stopped at verse 20. Okay? Shepherds, when he went and told her, he stopped at verse 20. We're going to pick up at verse 21. And I want you to see some stuff here. Luke 20, chapter 2, verse 21. And we'll start here. It says, at the end of 8 days, when the baby was to be circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. 8 days. Now, when you go back to the Levitical law, Moses' law that he wrote down, the baby was going to be circumcised after 8 days. Why was that important? Do you know that the human body starts to develop vitamin K after 8 days? After birth, 8 days. You know what vitamin K does? It's a blood clotting agent, right? That's what it does. So God said, you know what? You better wait 8 days before you do this thing because you could bleed to death, right? Okay? So 8 days is kind of important. God set that in motion. How did he know? He knew, didn't he? So let's go on. Okay. Verse 22. And when the time for their purification, the mother's purification, and the baby's dedication came according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, between verses 21 and 22, it's probably about 32 days. How do you know that, Matt? Because according to the Moses' law, the Mosaic law, a woman had to wait 40 days before she could go take the baby to be dedicated, be purified in the temple. 40 days. So 8 days he's born, he gets circumcised, 32 more days. Pretty cool, huh? So 40 days have passed since Jesus was born. Pretty cool, huh? Simple math, right? Okay, let's go on. In verse 23, it says, as is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be set apart and dedicated and called holy to the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 12, we're not going to go there because I didn't give that to Julie, so see, we're moving around along here. Leviticus chapter 12, it lays it out, okay? It lays out the dedication. It lays out the what's going to happen with the baby. It lays out how you're going to sacrifice, the number of days. It lays it out. So Mary and Joseph are following the law. Pretty cool, right? They're obeying the law. And verse 24 is interesting to me. Let's read this. And they came also to offer a sacrifice according to what it said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This is kind of important because if you go back to Leviticus chapter 12 and you read 1 through 8, it gives you the layout of it. But then it says, if you don't have the means to offer a lamb, if you're not wealthy enough to offer a lamb, you can offer a couple of turtle doves and a pigeons. Okay? So right out of the gate, we know Mary and Joseph, they're not really rich people, right? They're not rich people. So, which is kind of interesting to me. I thought that was just a good side note. So, we see this, and then verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Simeon means he has heard. Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and the Amplified says, cautiously and carefully observing the divine law and looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, I got to take a break here. Because What's going to happen is Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus to the temple, okay? They're going to be dedicated. They're going to offer a sacrifice, okay? So, in all of this, I might as well tell you, the temple is kind of an interesting place laid out. You have different places at the temple, okay? You have an outer court. This outer court is for the Gentiles and Gentiles alone. The outer court had where you bought your sacrificial lambs. It's where you bought your turtles. It's where you might exchange your money. I was thinking in my mind, all the stuff that's going on, a lot of noise. What happens when you get people together and you're doing stuff like that? What happens? You get people wanting to sell food, right? People get hungry. I mean, you got hot dog and hamburger vendors and stuff. I mean, I'm just thinking. I don't know that. But you understand, this is in the this is all going on in the outer court. The outer court was for strictly the Gentiles. There was a sign on the door when you went into the next section of it that says, Gentiles weren't allowed here if you entered by pain of death. That's all I said, by pain of death. So, you enter in here, we're going to kill you, and it's going to hurt bad. That's what they were saying. So, no Gentiles. There was only in the outer court. The second court was for the men and women, Jewish men and women only, period. Okay, this is as far as the women could go, the second court. The third part, only Jewish men were allowed. That's where the sacrifice had happened. Then the fourth was the Holy of Holies, where God, His presence resided. And the high priest only went once a year without blood. Set up. There was another section in behind that where they kept the money and stuff that they took for the sacrifice, all this stuff. But these four courts, to all this noise, can you imagine this? To all this noise, I relate it to a circus. All this noise comes Mary and Joseph with a baby. A little baby. And I have to believe he wasn't the only one. So here they come. So, here is this guy, Simeon, in verse 25. His name, I said, he is heard. And then it says he was righteous. The word for righteous means he did things, he treated you right. He was in right standing with God, and he wanted to treat you right because he was in right standing with God. He was a righteous man. And then it says he was devout. Devout is only used three times in the New Testament. It means to grab a hold of well. And you think, okay, that seems kind of weird. But when you start looking at the way this is laid out, this devout, you know, it signifies careful as to the realization of the presence and claims of God. Check this out. This guy, Simeon, he was very careful to understand and recognize God's word, and he was looking at it. He was watching this thing. He was keeping an eye on this word of God. They didn't have the Bible we have it, but he had the book of Isaiah, different things going on, okay. Says he's a committed worshiper. Wow. Devout's kind of a big word, isn't it? And I like this one. He was honest and sincere because he loved God from his heart. With all of his heart. And did not want to hurt or offend God. You see the sermon title today? What motivates you? Is it money? Is it food? What motivates you? And I was looking at this, and the reason I titled it that way is because Simeon was motivated by his love for God in his heart. Isn't that cool? He didn't do it to look good in front of people. He didn't do it to make himself feel better when he looked in the mirror. He did what he did because he loved God, and he didn't want to hurt God by doing something wrong. Isn't that something? When you're about ready to do something wrong, let me ask you, okay, truth time. You know when you're going to do something wrong, don't you? You know when you're going. You just smile. You know exactly what I'm saying. You know. Okay, Jackson, don't smile. Just sit there. Don't even look. Just look right up here at me, okay? You know when you're going to do something wrong, right? You know. Simeon was so careful. He didn't want to hurt God. He was very careful with the word. Isn't that cool? And then what's it say? He was looking for the consolation of Israel. What's that all about? This Greek word for consolation is equal to waiting on the coming Messiah. He was waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. He was waiting. It means to combine and courage, to removal of grief. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. This guy is, he loves the Lord. He's wanting to do what the Lord wants him to do. He's trying to follow the law. He's actually looking for the coming of the Messiah. Isn't that cool? Huh? What's the last part of that verse say? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you know how important the Holy Spirit is? Wow. We're going to see him mentioned three times in the next couple of verses here. The Holy Spirit. Let's keep going. I got to keep going. I don't want to get Julie to be right this time. Verse 26. And it had been divinely revealed. Check this out. It had been divinely revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You understand? The Holy Spirit said, listen, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. Isn't that cool? I thought about that. Wouldn't it be something if God says, listen, Tim, you're not going to die until you see your great-great-grandchildren. I'm like, cool! Dude! Huh? Wouldn't it be cool? Don't do that to the Sagers. I'm okay. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine what that would be like? The Holy Spirit told Simeon, you're not going to die to be the Messiah. That's pretty cool. So, verse 27, and prompted by the Holy Spirit, he came into the temple, where the parents brought in the little child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. He's being told things by the Holy Spirit that nobody should know. And then he's prompted. Simeon was an old guy. How hard is it to get out of bed when you're an old guy? You got to have some motivation, like bacon and egg smell. I mean, something. Say, okay, I'm getting up. You see what I'm saying? Simeon could have just stayed in bed, probably. You see what I mean? But he got up. He was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple on the exact day, at the exact time, that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to show up. That cool? That's pretty cool. All right. So, Isaiah 52. Why don't you go to Isaiah 52? Why don't you look at something here? I was looking at this, reading through this. They had the book of Isaiah back then. And in my mind, I can just picture Simeon reading this. I'm going to start in verse 5. No, I'm going to start in verse 4. Sorry, I messed you up, Alan. I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, for thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there. And many years later, Sennacherib, the Assyrian, oppressed them for nothing. Now I delivered you from both Egypt and Assyria. What then can prevent me from delivering you from Babylon? God said, listen, dude, I saved you guys from all this stuff. What can keep me from saving you now? What's the answer? Nothing. Nothing can save you. God's going to do what he's going to do. Verse 5, but now what have I here? Says the Lord. Seeing that my people have been taken away for nothing, those who rule over them with joy, says the Lord, in my name continually is blasphemed all day long. God said, listen, these guys that are ruling over you, that with joy they blaspheme my name. What's he say? Verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know what my name is. And what it means. God says, you know what? You're going to know my name and you're going to know what it means. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, I am. Now the I am in my Bible is capitalized. Behold, God says, you know what? You're going to know my name. You're going to know who I am because I'm God. Isn't that cool? Can you imagine Simeon reading that like, yes! Could you imagine? Huh? Let's go on. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. See me, he's going on. Your God reigns. You understand that? Keep going. Hark, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for they shall see eye to eye the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth joyously. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, revealing himself as the one by whose direction the redemption of Israel from captivity is accomplished, and all the ends of the earth shall witness the salvation of our God. Can you imagine? Simeon's going, yay! Yippee! Can you imagine? Who needs breaking eggs when you got the Word of God? Huh? I can just imagine him reading that, and you know, he's like, the Holy Spirit's like, dude, you need to go to the temple. It's going to be some cool stuff. Going. You need to get up, go. He's like, okay, I'll go. Cool. So what's going on here? Verse 28. Out of all this noise, out of all this hubbub that's going on, out of more than probably one baby that's actually here on this day, Simeon takes up the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms, praises and thanks God. Can you imagine? I can imagine the Holy Spirit giving him divine revelation, saying, you know what, dude? This is him. This is him. And could you imagine? Think about this. I was thinking this. Simeon, old guy, God says, you're not going to die until you see your Savior, Messiah. And he holds this baby in his arms and realizes, this is God. This is God. Can you imagine his praise? Could you imagine, like, dude, huh? This is God. And he praises God. Verse 29 says, and now, Lord, you're releasing your servant to depart, to leave this world in peace, according to your word. He's like, I have seen the salvation of the world. I have seen the Messiah. I have seen the Christ. I've seen him. Can you imagine it's been 400 years since anybody heard anything from God? From Malachi to Matthew, it's 400 years. And there's Simeon. And he's got God. He says, I got the Messiah, dude. Can you imagine? Huh? And he says, I can die today. I'm good. I'm good. I can die today. I've seen your Messiah. Verse 30, for with my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. Remember what we read in Isaiah 52? All eyes are going to see salvation. Simeon says, I've seen salvation. Verse 31, which you have ordained and prepared before all the people. And he does a little thing here. He's got a, I think he's got a revelation here. Verse 32, it says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to disclose what was before unknown, and to bring praise and honor and glory to your people. So Simeon does a little thing here. Let's go to Isaiah 42. I like this. But when I was reading this, I thought, you know what? This kind of goes right along with everything we're doing. Isaiah 42. It's a long one, but I'm going to read some of it because I want you to see this. I'm going to start in verse 5. Thus says God the Lord, He who created the heavens and stretched them forth, He who spread abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, He who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk in it. You catching all this? God says, the Lord says, the one that created the earth, the one that makes the grass grow and the trees come up, animals be here. I give you the breath and I give you the power in your spirit, your life. I give it to you. He's saying, this guy, and you know what? Remember the beginning of the service when you turned to that person beside you and said, God loves you? That same God. That same guy. That same God. The same one that put this world into existence. He loves you. He loves me. Isn't that cool? And that love never changes. That love never changes. Let's go on. Verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you for a righteous purpose, and in righteousness I will take you by the hand, and I will keep you. I will give you for a covenant to the people, Israel, for a light to the nations. He's talking about Jesus here, the Messiah, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who sit in darkness from the prison. Verse 8, I am the Lord. That's my name. Can you imagine? God says, I'm the Lord. That's my name. You understand it? That's my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to a graven image. God's saying, you know what? I am the Lord. I'm the Lord. I created you. I can take your breath in a second. You'd be dead. I can take your health and you can die. I'm God. You understand that? I'm God. He says, I won't give my glory to another. You're going to worship some graven, stupid image that you made with your hands? I'm God. He will not cry or shout aloud or cause his voice to be heard. Behold, former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Did you catch that verse? Behold, former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Isaiah prophetically talked about the Messiah being born 700 years before it happened. 700 years! Anybody here that old? Anybody here feel that old? Anybody here want to be that old? 700 years! God said, you know what? I can tell you what's going to happen 1,000 years from now. And it'll come true. Because I'm God. Isn't that cool? Huh? That's a good one. What's it say? Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Woo! You who go down to the sea and all that's in it, the islands, the coastal regions, the inhabitants of them, sing a song such as never been heard in the heathen world. I like that in Amplified. You're going to sing a song that's never been heard before in the heathen world. Let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voices, the villages that keep their inhabitants. Let the inhabitants of the rock, Petra, sing. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the islands and the coastal regions. The Lord will go forth like a mighty man. He will rouse up His zealous indignation and vengeance like a warrior. He will cry, yes, He will shout aloud, and He will do mightily against His enemies. If you wonder, it says, I've held my peace for a long time. I think about this, you know. God cannot stand sin. No, God hates sin. God hates sin. Sin was what ruined you and me. When Adam and Eve sinned in that garden, sin came into the world. It ruined you and me. It ruined that perfect relationship we had with God. God hates sin. He hated it. He hated sin as much as He loves you. He hates sin as much that He loves you. Because you know what He did? He said, you know what? I have got to buy them back. I've got to pay the price. I love them so much. I don't want to be without them. I want them to be with me. So this is what we're going to do. Can you imagine that conversation between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I like it. I like it, Dad. This is going to work. This is going to work. It would. And it did. And He paid the price. And can you imagine Simeon reading stuff like that, thinking, man, this is a God that I love. This is a God that I don't want to hurt. This is my God. Can you imagine a guy like that? He'd have to be crazy in the head, right? Simeon had gotten a hold of who God was. And God had gotten a hold of who Simeon was. And they walked together. And you can have that same walk. Isn't that great? Isn't that something? Isn't that incredible how the Lord works this thing out? Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. You guys get a lot of gifts for Christmas? honest question. I was just asking, you know. I got a pair of socks. I didn't get a cold this year, though. Which is kind of disappointing because I tell the grandkids I can burn that for heat. I didn't get any cold this year. So you think about gifts that you've been given for Christmas. Think about it. Have you ever re-gifted a gift? You don't have to admit it. I'm just asking a question. You ever get a gift? You're like, that sweater's really ugly. Yeah. But I bet my aunt would love it. So you give it to her next Christmas. Nobody will know. Right? You re-gifted, right? Everybody, come on. You know, you don't look at me. You know what I'm saying? You re-gifted stuff. I was thinking in my mind, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was the most precious, perfect gift we ever got. It's the most precious, perfect gift that you can ever give away. It's the most precious, perfect gift you can re-gift to someone else. Isn't that cool? I think that's where the idea came from. People started using that. I think that's where it came from. Huh? You can re-gift that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was the most perfect gift. He was. And well, you don't know Matt 1, Jesus more. You don't know the date. No. It doesn't give us a date in the Bible. There's very specific dates in the Bible that are given for things that was happened, things that was going on. When Noah came out of the ark, there's very specific times. His birth is not given a specific time. But because, as Christians, we want to celebrate a day of his birth. We want to celebrate. It's just like you're born. You were born on a date, right? People celebrate your birthday. That's kind of neat, right? Huh? That's cool. We want to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. And our people, you can celebrate every day of the year. And I do. Because that gift that he gave us, it works every day. That's a gift that you never put on the shelf. You can, I suppose, if you want to. But that's a gift that you can keep with you 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Huh? That's a gift. And you know what? You can give that gift to somebody else. You can pass that gift on. That gift is so beautiful, we can re-gift it to someone else over and over and over again. Isn't that cool? It's a precious gift. Luke chapter 2. Verse 33. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? You know, there's not one word, not one word attributed to Joseph. Saying one word. Not one. Not a word. Not one. Not, you go back, there's not one word attributed to Joseph saying anything. Like, how you doing? Howdy. Nothing. I mean, nothing. Mary, a lot of stuff. Joseph, nothing. I believe he was a righteous man, or he wouldn't know what he did. Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed and destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that secret thoughts and purposes of many hearts may be brought out and disclosed. We can go on here, but I want you to see something. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name. By regarding him as your only hope for safety. And let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, lest you offend him by your fear of man and distrust of him. I like the way Bright brings that out. We're to honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to honor the name of God. And he says, don't be afraid of man. Don't dread. Because I'm God. And I'm in control. We're talking in Sunday school about shaping your life for ministry. And we're talking today about things that are painful. And you know, you are the sum total of all the problems, pains, heartaches of your life. Some of us have had a lot more than others. Some of us have lived a lot longer than others. But you're the sum total of all them pains that you have dealt with. And you know, the biggest thing I think that come out of that Sunday school class is knowing that God can bring you through that. He will make you stronger. He will make you able to help other people because you've been through that problem too. God told me one time, he said, you know, God talks to you in the quiet times, but he screams at you in your pain. And I believe that. When you're in pain, we really need to turn to the Lord. And he's screaming at us, just turn to me. Let's go on here. We're just about done. Verse 14. He shall be a sanctuary, a sacred and indestructible asylum to those who reverently fear and trust in him. But he shall be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble thereon, and they shall fall and be broken, and be snared and taken. He shall be an indestructible asylum. Do you think of God as being an indestructible asylum? When problems come on you, do you think, this is going to be bad? When something's going to about to happen, you think, this is going to hurt. You ever think about that when you're going to tackle somebody in football? This is going to hurt. This is going to leave a mark. This is going to hurt. God says, I am an indestructible asylum, and those who turn to me, I will protect. You know, those that reject me, I'm going to be like a rock, and they're going to break themselves on me. So looking at all that was said, what motivates you? Is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you? Is that what motivates you? Is it what people think of you? Motivate you? No. I think Simeon had it right. I think Simeon was allowing the Holy Spirit to lead him, to guide him, to give him wisdom and understanding. And you know what? God is more than capable and able to do the same thing for you if you just ask. See, you don't have because you don't ask. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. James 1:17. Can you imagine that? Every good and perfect gift, the most perfect gift of all, he sent to us in a Son, his Son, Jesus. If you don't remember anything else that I've said today, remember, God loves you. Just exactly the way you are. He loves you. Isn't that cool? To know that someone loves you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we are humbled by the fact, Father, that you do love us. Oh, knowing what we are. When we look in the mirror, Father, we know what we are. And you still love us. You're still there for us. You're still with us. You're beside us. You're strengthening us. You're giving us wisdom. Giving us knowledge. And yes, Father, I believe you give us a love and a heart for you that we just can't understand. But we can love you. We thank you, Father. We praise you. I just ask, Father, that our motivation would be to love you more, to know you better, to become more intimate with your presence, knowing you are God and you love us so much. Thank you for this time, Father. Thank you for your word. I just pray that we can apply it to our lives. Coming to know you better. We praise you, Father. We love you. Just ask a special blessing on each and everyone here. Father, you can just show your love to us. Praise you. We love you, Father. In precious name we pray. Amen. This is a time of service we come to every Sunday. We're going to offer a time of invitation. This invitation is for salvation. This invitation is for prayer for healing. This invitation is prayer for you in any situation you have. So what we're here for. We want to take you before the throne of God, and we want to lay your problems at his feet.